This show contains language and themes that may be considered offensive to some. Please use your best judgment about whether or not you should be listening. Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Coward. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at scifinoise.com, and that's scifinoise.com. Sci-Fi Noise is part of the Deliberate Noise Network. For more details, please go to deliberatenoise.com. If you'd like to send feedback, you can email me. My email address is Derek, that's D-E-R-E-K, at DeliberateNoise.com. Or you can call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772. You can follow me, Derek Coward, on Facebook or Twitter, or on Instagram under the name Comic Book Noise. Alright, yesterday, I finally got a chance to finish watching, and when I say finish, I mean I watched like the first 2 or 3 minutes of Heroes Reborn, and then something happened, and I wasn't able to watch it, to finish watching it. So, last night, I restarted the whole thing, and I watched the whole thing, you know? Now, I will say a couple of things. Number one, first off, I liked it, okay? There were some people who were commenting on how slow it was, but the slowness was really in the first part. It was a two-hour premiere, which is actually two episodes. The first episode was written by Tim Crane, who has been the creative force behind it since the beginning. Tim Kring understands that you have to take time to introduce new characters, okay? And that's what he wanted to do. He didn't just want to throw a bunch of characters out there. What he wanted to do is he wanted to introduce them. He wanted to put some sort of context to them, especially the those characters that were going to play major roles, all right? Now, and this is kind of a bit of a spoiler, I like the fact that he gave us glimpses of a bunch of characters. He introduced them the way most television shows would introduce them. It's like, hey, here are some characters. Now let's see what they do. And then he immediately showed why you don't do that, right? Why you give some kind of context for certain people. And I really enjoyed the way that he did that, and the way he crafted everything, you know. In the very beginning, there was a callback to the original series, because you saw a girl dressed as a cheerleader, you know. Because remember, that was the first tagline that really got the show popular: "Save the cheerleader, save the world." But later on in that episode, and in the second one, a lot of it took place in a high school. And even though there's really no need for them, the first time was a nice callback. But after that, all you saw were like roaming packs of cheerleaders going through the hallways. And that was just, that's kind of creepy. I was like, I do believe someone has a fetish. But, okay. I'm trying to talk about some of the characters in a way that's interesting, but at the same time doesn't spoil anything. Okay. Once again, he likes to focus on young characters. When I say young, I mean like high school characters who are, who know about their abilities and who may not know how to totally use them, but they're more comfortable with them than people would give them, you know, a little bit of credit for. And in this case, you know, in the first one, it was Claire, the cheerleader. But this one is sort of like a kid who grew up in drastically different circumstances. Okay, when Claire had her powers in the original episode, nobody else really would believe her unless she had, you know, a video proof. And that's how she met that one guy and they were friends and all that kind of stuff. The new kid, whose name I really don't remember at all, he's grown up in a world where not only do people have powers, they even have a little name. They're called Evos, you know, because you can't call them mutants or metahumans. So you go with Evos or Inhuman. You have to go with Evo, which means that they're further evolutionaries, right? They're higher on the evolutionary chain, apparently. So he knows that there are people with these powers, right? He's one of them. He's grown up with it. He knows, and not only does he know, but the public knows it. And there are people who despise Evos and that, who are looking to hurt them. And so he is pretty much our touchstone character. Okay, out of the new ones, he's the one that we're supposed to empathize with the most. Okay. And then they also reintroduced Noah. I can't remember his last name now. Very early in the show. Right, because if you recall, he was originally in the original episodes, he was pretty much, we thought he was one of the bad guys, okay? And then later on we find out, okay, he's Claire's father. He's pretty much trying to protect his daughter. But in this one, he's pretty much an amnesiac, right? There was a huge, lot of carnage. In fact, that's how that's one of the first things that happened in the episode, right? There was a big gathering in Odessa, Texas, where a lot of the show took place, where a lot of the, you know, the first season. In fact, I'm going to say the original series, because it was more than just the first season. The original series took place in Odessa, Texas, and there were a lot of people who were gathered there, and something happened, and it looked like, I don't know. At first, I thought, you know, UFOs were coming down, and, you know, because it looked very Independence Day-ish, you know. But we still don't know what happened. All we know is that there was a lot of dead people. A lot. And Noah couldn't remember anything. Now, that's good. There was a character played by Zachary Levi, who was Chuck. Not a fan of this character. Simply because I'm not quite sure what his motivations are. He starts off as one thing, but you can still see that there are flashes of him wanting to be something else. You know, and he's supposed to have, he was there at Odessa, and he's supposed to have some sort of PTSD. You know, he lost his son. That's what they're trying to get across to us, that he's this broken individual. But some of the things he does are just, they're not consistent with being a hero. You know, they're not even really consistent with being someone who you could rehabilitate as a hero later, a character you can rehabilitate later. So we'll see. I had a friend who was watching Attack the Block, and, you know, he didn't like, you know, the main heroes, and he said, is it bad that I'm rooting for the villains? And that's how I am with the television show The Strain, you know, where the heroes are just so irritating that I'm kind of rooting for the vampires. I'm rooting for the bad guys. So I can see them trying to do it, you know. But at the same time, I don't know. There's some characters that just, the things they do are just too far gone, right? So we'll have to see. Yeah, so many other new characters, because I think they were all new characters except for Noah and one other character. Two more other characters. One I just don't remember. But anyway, I'm not going to go into them. But anyway, I just want to say I like the show. It was not only was it interesting because you could tell the methodical nature, let's just be kind of call it the methodical nature of the first episode, was to do more than just introduce these new characters, but it's also to introduce this world. I would say reintroduce, but it's drastically different from how it was in the first season, you know, or the second season, the original series. It's drastically different in terms of how society reacts to a bunch of other little things, you know. Looking forward to more, definitely am. In fact, it's even got me wanting to go back and watch the original series, not just the first season, but the whole thing, because after a while, I stopped watching. You know, and I stopped watching for the same reason a lot of other people stopped watching. It's just, it just wasn't enthusing me anymore. For me, I have a definite breaking point, all right? You know, the first season was really good. The second season, I thought they dropped the ball big time. The original idea was they were going to have new characters, new heroes every year, right? But the show like caught on. It became like a pop culture phenomenon, and it really did. Looking back on it, a lot of people like poo-poo the whole thing, but when it first came out, it hit big, you know? But and so they couldn't get rid of the characters. So instead of doing something different, like what they should have done, which is you take the main storyline, which, let's face it, the main storyline were the Petrellis versus Siler, right? You end that in the first season, and then some of the other minor storylines, you boost one of them up to the main storyline, and then you can still continue to introduce new characters. But at the end of each season, when that main storyline ends, those characters are no longer usable, right? Sorry, dude. Why are they stopping at a green light? Anyway, sorry about that. So that's what I would have done. That's how I would have handled it. But then again, I probably would have wanted the show to last more than four seasons. And I'm not saying that they didn't, but I think that they buckled underneath the pressure. I think that Tim Kring was like, you know what, I've got this thing, it's a hit. This is what they want, so I'm going to go with it. But, you know, the end of the first season, that season finale was just, I loved it, right? You saw the end of Siler and the end of not Peter Petrelli, but his older brother, whose name I can't remember, Senator Petrelli. And then, like, at the next episode or the second episode, they were both back. It's like, what? Okay. And you know, right then, that's when it kind of had a problem. But the show kept trying new things, and that I enjoyed. But they, in fact, they had this whole sort of like Days of Future Past for the X-Men fan storyline where there's a possible future and you see what could happen. And then they kind of blew that two ways. Number one, Peter Petrelli, who was the one who jumped over into this alternate timeline, he had somebody with him and he kind of left her there in this alternate timeline, right? And depending on how you look at time, you know, in alternate realities, one of two things happened. Either he went over to one timeline, you know, went to the so-called future, and when he came back to that same timeline and he stopped that future from happening, which means that the woman who was there, she ceased to exist. Or when he went back, he started a new timeline, a whole new branch, and she's trapped in this whole dystopian reality. Either way, she got screwed over, and the creators never addressed that again. So I thought that was like a punk move. And then when they did the whole Days of Future Past thing, I was cool with that. But then they kept doing flashbacks, you know, like, this is what happened years ago. Okay. This is what's gonna happen in a few years. Like, oh my God, are you kidding me with this? And I remember I was watching an episode, third season, which was messed up because of strike. Well, the writer's strike, which also hurt them really bad, because they had to take the third season and abbreviate it. So what could have been a really good, compelling story introducing a bunch of villains was truncated, so that it ended way too quick. Everything just seemed rushed. But during that season, I'm watching, and you know, and I'm kind of digging it. I'm like, okay, maybe Heroes is getting back into the swing of things. But they said, you know, next episode, and it was another flashback episode. And I was like, I'm done, and I stopped. However, I didn't watch the rest of that season, so I want to go back and watch that and put everything in context and start from the beginning. When they came back for the season with the carnival, I was back on board. I like carnivals. I don't know. There's something about that whole sort of closed-in society where they're the normal ones. They, you know, people try to treat them like they're the freaks, but they're the normal ones because they're in this closed society. They're in this family, basic. And everybody else on the outside, the ones who are pointing and laughing, yeah, they're the ones who are the real oddballs. They're the ones who really do not matter in the grand scheme of things. There was a television show on HBO called Carnival that I like. And I like this one, the Heroes, with where they had this carnival. Robert Knepper, who played Teabag on Prison Break, he was the ringmaster. And to tell you the truth, if Marvel Studios ever does bring the ringmaster to the big screen, Robert Knepper would be perfect for the role. Personally, I thought he'd have been perfect playing Sinestro in the Green Lantern movie, but the Green Lantern movie blew, so I'm glad he didn't, you know, waste his talents. But I was watching that and I liked it. And I think in that season they also had like either a flashback or flash forward episode. And I was done. I was like, I'm not coming back another time. I'm just not. And then you flash forward a couple of years and they've got a whole new thing. And I'm still going to watch it. And I know I'm giving them one flash forward or flashback episode. That's it. Just one. That they're on double secret probation. They do that, I'll be good with it. But if they do a second one in the season, I'm done again. I just cannot take it. It is a crutch that this particular franchise relies on way too heavy, you know. it would be like, you know, the whole evil twin thing on a soap opera. You know, it's like, yeah, okay. Yeah, I can kind of see that. But if, you know, every time a character, you know, an actor quits the show and then wants to come back a couple years later, you come up with another set of twins, it's like, oh, come on. You know, or you do like General Hospital, where they brought Anthony Geary back, and they didn't even say he was a brother. So, oh yeah, he's his cousin. He just happens to look exactly like him, but with a different haircut. You know, you do stuff like that, and you go from being a trope to a joke. You know, and I want to like Heroes Reborn, and right now I do. I'm digging it. I know that they are going to have certain characters from the past join the cast again. So we'll see what happens there. I'm sorry, I'm at a stop sign, and there's this woman just sitting there, not in front of me, but like on the other side of the road coming my way, and she's just sitting there. I don't know if she's gonna make a turn or what. She's just sitting there. Weird. Anyway, so I wonder if they're gonna give us more updates on other characters, right? Like, I don't know what happened to the Petrellis, right? I don't know what happened to Dana Davis's character, right? She's the one who could do basically what the Taskmaster could do, which is see, what was it? Oh, reflexive photographic memory, where she could see somebody do something and she could do it. She saw Rey Mysterio doing the 619 and then she did it on the show. So I don't know what happened to her character. I'm going to see what happened to her character. I'm going to see what happens to a bunch of the other characters, you know? I know that Claire is not coming back because Hayden Panettiere is on a different hit show. Nashville, so I don't think that she's really going to want to, I don't know, go back. And Kristen Bell, I was never really sure why she was on the show in the first place. She had already made a name for herself. So we'll see. Season to me, it started off the way I would expect Heroes to start off. In the beginning, when you had this whole secret society of people who had these powers and nobody really knew about it except some people trying to kill them, that was interesting. You know, I liked that. That was part of the appeal. But now you have years later where everybody knows about these people, but they're still being killed and we don't know, you know, who can be trusted and who can't. It's really weird. Oh, and Pruitt Taylor Vince, who I don't know why that guy has that particular name, because I always think I'm messing it up. But I like him. He's on the show. And we will just have to see where they go from here. Anyway, I'm going to keep watching it and I will update you, you know, whenever I get an opportunity. I still have to finish watching the season finale of Killjoys. Oh, and I also need to talk about Lost Girl and how it's been a disappointment. So maybe I'll do that on a future episode. But for right now, I'm done making a bunch of sci-fi noise. So thanks, and I'll be back soon with another episode.